We're doing our class on the Jewish home, and our topic tonight is which eye do I look with? It says in the pasuk, "Kamaim apanim lapanim ken lev adam laadam." Just as when you look into the water, you see a reflection of your own face, so too, man's heart reflects other man's heart. What we receive from other people is a reflection of what we give to them. So there was a Rav, Rav Tzadka's father-in-law, son-in-law, I don't remember, Rav Yaakov Shiknazi. And he said a beautiful pshat. He's a Sfardi with this name, Rav Yaakov Chacham Yaakov Shiknazi. And he said the following pshat. He said, we have a right eye, we have a left eye. Right is always in halacha the strong. Right doesn't mean a side, it means the stronger one. Left in Arabic, small, means weak. So we have the stronger side and the weaker side. Every person has a limb which is stronger, a limb which is weaker, an eye which is stronger, an eye which is weaker. You look at someone else, sometimes you look with your right eye, sometimes you look with your left eye. Sometimes you look very strongly, sometimes you look very weakly. What's the nature of man? When we see something wrong with someone else, we look with our right eye. What's wrong with you? Why'd you do that? Don't you realize that's wrong? We can be very forceful. What happens when someone does something right? So we look with our left eye. Then we can be weak. What happens when your chavrus is wrong in the Beis Medrash? You feel very confident to say you're wrong. What happens when I'm wrong in the Beis Medrash? So then I say a very weak, you're right. Right? How loud can you say, you're right? How forceful can you be in an apology? How forceful can you be in a demand? This is wrong, I'm not going to put up with this, you're 100% wrong. What happens when I'm wrong? Do I show up and I say, I am wrong, you don't have to put up with this, I'm 100% wrong? We don't say that, right? We don't say that. When it's me that's wrong, it's, I'm sorry. No. We make mistakes, we're human. Right? Then it's, so Rav Shiknazi said, the only time that we don't do that is when we look at ourselves. When we look at ourselves, then we can look at our strengths with our right eye. We can see how great we are. When we look at our weaknesses, we can look at them with our left eye. That's what happens when you look into the water and see your reflection. It's the only time that the right eye looks at the right eye and the left eye looks at the left eye. Right? What you're seeing in your reflection in the water. So Rav Shiknazi said, when the pasuk says, "Kamaim apanim lapanim," just as when you look at yourself in the water, you see the right with the right, and you see the left with the left, so too when you look at other people, look at the right with your right, and look at the left with the left, you see something positive, try to see it with good force, try to see it strong, try to see it and appreciate how great it is. When you see someone's weakness, so be as forgiving as you are to yourself. We're all human, we make mistakes, we can live with that. This is a style. It's a style we can each develop. I was standing with a friend of mine years ago. The story came back to me last night. Someone asked, I'll tell you the story they told me last night. Someone came to the shir last night who works in Abu Ghosh. And he told me that one of his clients in Abu Ghosh asked, I don't know how he did it, he asked a relative of his to buy a lottery ticket in the United States, and he won. So he flew to the United States, and he came back with the money, and then he used a large part of the money to build himself his house and his restaurant. He had a restaurant. Till today, he has a restaurant in Abu Ghosh. And with the rest of the money, he bought himself a famous Lincoln, a big American car, a Lincoln. And in Abu Ghosh, this was exceptional. He was the only one that had a Lincoln, a big American car. So everyone in Abu Ghosh knew he had this Lincoln. One morning, he wakes up, goes out of his house, and the Lincoln is totaled. But Lincoln is totally destroyed. Like, he said someone crashed into it, and he till today, he wonders if it was on purpose or by mistake. So I said to the guy, I said, it has to have been on purpose, and I'll tell you why. I was once standing next to a friend. That's what brought back this story to my mind last night. A friend of mine was, we were talking, when his wife called, and his wife said, I just saw an accident, what should I do? And my friend said, what do you mean you saw an accident? She said, I saw a van spin out of control. I kept driving. How should I call the police? So my friend said, of course you should call the police. You have a cell phone. This story happened maybe 25 years ago. This story happened when people didn't have cell phones. So my friend tells his wife, of course you should call the police. She calls the police. But what was the real story? What she didn't tell her husband. She had switched lanes, and the corner of her Lincoln touched the van. And she sent the van spiraling. And she didn't say that to her husband. She said, I saw a van spiraling. So I said to him later on, my friend shared with me the story, and it blew me away, that a Lincoln is such a heavy car that a whole van with a bunch of passengers goes flying and the Lincoln barely moves on the road. The wife claimed that she didn't notice she touched the van. The wife claimed that her car didn't even notice it. Like that she... Now, it could be true because a Lincoln is a very heavy car. Yeah. And if other cars try to... I don't know how they make them today, but 25 years ago, it was solid metal. It was called a gas guzzler because it weighed a lot. It consumed a lot of gas on the streets. So I said to the guy who told me the story last night, I told him the story. I said to him, you can't, by mistake, no Israeli car, if they just bashed into it, the car would be totaled, but the Lincoln wouldn't be. A Lincoln is a very powerful car. It's not like... So he said to me, you're right. It wasn't a car, it was a truck that ran into it. It was like a truck. Boom! Right. Bashed the whole car and then went on. Hit and drive. So he said, the guy till today, he said, I came to him as my client and he showed me the totaled car and he said someone was jealous of it. Someone said he's not going to have such a beautiful car. So they destroyed his car. But you know what? How do we look at the positive in other people? How do we look... What brought back this story was, after I was reminded of it last night, the story haunted me. Like, I couldn't get it out of my head. And I said to myself, if that wife was not open with her husband, why wasn't she open with her husband? Why did she tell him? I asked myself, I couldn't remember. I was trying to remember, was she persecuted as a hit and run? That wife who said, I saw the van spin out of control. Did she call it in? I can't remember the end of the story. At the end of the story, I remember was she did call it in. But I don't remember how they uncovered that it was her car that caused the van to spin out of control.
She did get in trouble?
I don't remember her being persecuted as hit and run. I don't remember that happening.
She did get persecuted.
I don't remember her getting persecuted at all. Could be because she reported it. I don't know.
I think if you do it within a certain amount of time, you're not closer.
Fine, I don't remember. I'm saying it's been 25 years. But I've been rehashing the story, and I asked myself, why? Why couldn't the wife tell her husband? Meaning, she was scared of telling him. And I asked myself, if anyone else's wife would tell him I was driving, I switched lanes, I whacked the van went out of control, there was a pregnant lady on that van and I don't know how the baby's doing, true part of the story, and now we have an insurance claim against us, how would a husband react? I don't know. I don't think that would be the reaction. I think the reaction would be, we're all human, we make mistakes. I think the average husband wouldn't be upset at his wife. I think so. I think the average husband would say, you must feel terrible. How are you doing? Meaning, I'm worried about the other people, I'm worried about you. But the wife didn't feel like that's the reaction she'd get out of her husband. So that means that she was scared of telling him what really happened. Meaning she didn't feel like she'd have that backing if she told him the real story. And then the question becomes why? And I think it comes back to this point. Can we show people that we look strongly upon their strong points and that we're accepting of their weak points. Am I looking at their right eye with my right eye? What Rav Ashkenazi said. Can I look at someone else and say, you're amazing? Okay, let's pause for a second. Quick question. People often call someone to verify about a shidduch. Okay? This is a very important exercise, what we're about to do now. I want you to think about three friends that you might be called up as a reference. Someone's going to call you and say, Leo, what can you tell me about Binny? Someone's going to say, Binny, what can you say about Leo? Okay, this is going to happen. And it does happen. I'm very serious. Why don't you stop and ask yourself, what positive things can you say about three people you know? Can you be very forceful in your praise? Can you say, this person is great, A, B, C, D, E? Because I challenged you guys, and I said, go online and say positive things about Machon Meir and Facebook. Not everyone was able to do that. There's a lot of positive to say about Machon Meir, and it would help other people. Now, we all have that weakness. It's hard for us. Can I be positive about someone else? I get very frustrated when I call someone to verify about a shidduch and they cannot say positive things about the person. I believe it is more a reflection of the person I'm calling than the person I'm calling about. Because you should be able to speak positively about another Jew. The question is, how do I look at that other Jew? What? I didn't hear you. Okay, but let's start here. Let's start now. Choose three people and ask yourself, can I speak for 7 minutes intelligently, positively about this person? I have to do it all the time. It's part of rabbinics. I don't have a choice. You know the story, the rabbi is invited, he must say a eulogy. He didn't know the person. They tell him, you must. Rabbi, you're the only rabbi within a 100-mile radius. Our father was Jewish, and we're Jewish, and we want you there. So he shows up to the funeral, right? And he sees a whole bunch of bikers. And he sees the three sons, and they look like a bunch of gangsters. And he goes up to the podium, and he's like, he looks at the crowd, and he says, ladies and gentlemen, you look at these three children, and you can understand what type of human being the father was, and the kids are beaming, right? No one thinks they're bad. If you can say, you look at me and you see what a person my father was, great. It's the biggest compliment. Can we look positively and speak positively? We should. We should. Stop and ask yourself, can you speak for 7 minutes about three people and say positive, positive, positive? I dated a girl once. I dated many girls many times. There was one girl who I dated who it just didn't take off. We kept going date after date and it got nowhere. And I kept dating her. And the reason I kept dating her until we reached like date number 8 and we sat there at the date and I said, look, I think you're an amazing person, but I don't see that our relationship is hitting it off. I don't know. I'm happy to continue. But I'm not sure it's worth it because I feel like we're still on the runway. We haven't advanced in our relationship in 8 dates. But I see such a wonderful person. I'm willing to continue. I'm just not sure there's a point because our relationship hasn't advanced at all in 8 dates. She felt the same way. We paused for half a year. And I think by the end of the half a year, we revisited the question. We both thought we should pause for another half a year. And by that time, one of us was engaged. Baruch Hashem, she's married with kids today. I know because she tried setting me up and I tried setting her up. Until today, there are people who we tried setting one another up with who are single. And every so often, I'll call and I'll say, hey, is this girl still single? Now I have a guy in Machon Meir or whatever who's good for her. So, Baruch Hashem, she's...
You were dating?
I dated, yeah.
Did you try to set guys up in Machon with
them? We have people here all ages.
Don't put me on that list.
Understand, I held on to girls' contact information for over 15 years.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Yeah, so I could help them. What do you mean? Yeah. I feel very bad. I there are girls who I dated 16 years ago are still single. It's a calamity. I mean, it's terrible. Why did I go out with her 8 times? Because every person she spoke about was positive. Every word that came out of her mouth was positive. Yeah. She was one of the most positive people I ever met. Yeah. Everything, she spoke about her job, she spoke about her family. She was Yemenite. So she told me about her relatives that were kidnapped. Right? Yeah. No, she told me. She has uncles who her grandmother lost some of her babies in the hospital. Out of a number of kids, some of them were taken off and her grandmother never had them. But in all our conversation, I could say 99% of everything she said was positive. Yeah. I said, such a positive person, maybe we can make it work. Yeah. Because when you see a positive person, it's a personality type. We think, no, this person has a bad job. They have a bad rap with their landlord. They have a bad rap with their wife. They have a bad rap with their kids. They have a bad rap with the school. They have a bad rap with society. It doesn't work that way. All of life involves good and bad, better and worse, sometimes nicer, sometimes less pleasant. What do I see in life? Can I focus with my right eye? Can I focus with my strong points on what's positive in life? And this comes to play most with our wives. People sometimes say, I have a weakness. I'm critical. I'm critical of people. I give criticism. You have to realize it is the gravest weakness for a marriage. I don't know if there is a more potent weakness a person can have, a more destructive weakness a person can have. If a person has the strength that they can compliment, that they can say positive things, then they have what it takes to marry almost any woman. If you can be positive and compliment, if you can be convincing in your compliments, then you have what it takes to make a companion happy. But most of us are very weak at that. Most of us, men and women, we don't know how to do it. You finish a meal and you say, thank you. I said thank you. Can you compliment for 3 minutes? Can you spend 3 minutes talking about how good the food was? Why not? Can you spend 5 minutes a day showing appreciation? Is it a big deal? I've asked people to write letters. When I was in yeshiva, I wrote letters to donors. So I wrote a letter. I said, Mr. Wall, I know you donated in Merkaz Harav. I've been learning here and I benefit. I benefit from the warmth of the place. I benefit from the teachers. I benefit from the wonderful students who I get to rub shoulders with. I benefit from the excellent accommodations. I benefit from the fact that I live in Israel. I benefit from the Rosh Yeshiva, Chief Rabbi of Israel. I benefit from the wonderful library we have, which is one of the best in the country. I benefit from the wonderful heat and the wonderful food. I benefit. There's a lot to talk about. But you know what? If our modé aniv, our appreciation, can be real, then we're happier people. If I can see what's good in life, and if I can see with my right eye what's the right eye of the other person, and especially my wife, then I'll be happy and she'll be happy. This is one of the most important elements, perhaps the most important element, of having a happy home. And it's true with our kids, and it's true with their education as well. We had a bar mitzvah. My parents flew in, some of my siblings flew in, and the kids missed a lot of school. So one of the rabbeim sent me a letter home that said, you know, your son's missed a heck of a lot of school, I want to talk to you. So I looked at the letter, and I thought to myself, this is a new rebbe. Okay, I'll call him. So I call him, and right away, he's like, you know, your son's missed a lot of school. I said, you know, I don't hear you well. Let's talk a little bit later. I call him 20 minutes later, and the guy starts a conversation, and he goes, you know, we have on record, he's missed this one. I say, you know, there's a lot of noise here. There was, but it was also an excuse. I was too upset by the way he was talking. I said, there's really a lot of noise here. Do you mind? How late can I call you tonight? So the guy tells me time, and I call him up. And I decided I'm not going to let his negative attitude get to me. Yeah. And I called him up, and before he could say a word, I said, I wanted to tell you how much we appreciate what you're doing for our kid. I wanted to tell you how much our son is benefiting from your class. I wanted to tell you how much he loves going to school every day, and how when we talk on Shabbos, he really knows the parasha. I know there's an issue he's been showing up late, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I just wanted to tell you that we really appreciate what you're doing as a teacher. Okay, suddenly he's not talking to me about the kid coming late. Suddenly I get a whole speech. You know, your son participates and he's a lot of fun to have in class. He's a smiley kid. David, I changed the whole conversation. Now, the first two times I was too annoyed. I called my wife after we hung up and I said, this is a new Rebbe. You don't start talking your first conversation with a parent and tell him what's wrong. Talk to me about what's right. There's a lot of things. There's one thing wrong. Fine, we have to deal with it. He's right. He's not wrong. He's 100% right. That's not the only thing that's going on. I understand that's the note he sent me home. That's not the only thing. Okay, but that's true in life. We're all that way. You come home and your wife, you asked her to prepare you dinner because you're running out and it's late and she forgot to prepare you dinner. Do you say, thank you for doing the shop, thank you for doing the laundry, thank you for everything you've done? No, you say, why isn't dinner ready? I thought I asked you. Right? I'm very focused on what's wrong. We will pick up here, Bezrat Hashem, next week.